Elegant Weapon is brought to you by Nemesis Studios.
What are y'all doing in here?
We're smoking reefer, and you don't want no part of this shit.
An elegant weapon for a more civilized age.
This is a journey into sound.
Episode 191. My name is Jay, the Jedi Ross, and welcome back, kids. It's good to be here in the L5J Studios again with you. We have returned to the land of the Great White North after heading south to the 2016 Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo. That's right, C2E2, kids. What a hell of a good time. What a hell of a good show. I'm going to tell you all about it and bring you some very, very special chats from an amazing experience. First of all, I have to address the elephant in the room. Yes, I did in fact see Batman vs. Superman. Yes, I am on the polarized side that enjoyed the movie. I can completely understand why it's not for everybody, because it's not made for everybody. If you were surprised by the tone, feeling, or look of Dawn of Justice, I don't know what the hell you've been expecting, because it's one of the biggest complaints is that we saw too much in the trailer. Well, yeah, we saw a lot in the trailer, so you should have known exactly what you were in for. If you didn't like it, that's fine, that's not your thing, but I guess $430 million worth of people wanted to at least see it. I can't remember a comic book movie as polarizing as Batman vs. Superman. Things to love, things to hate even, I can completely understand that, but as I've said on this show many, many times before, I'm completely biased. I think Zack Snyder is wonderful. The plot was, if anything, too much of a plot, rather than having no plot, so I don't understand what's going on there. But as I've been hoping for, visually speaking, this is the most stunning looking comic book movie ever. Is it trippy? Yeah. Is it something different? Yeah. You know, I come from the 90s, a time when everything was different, including your Batman. We still get six different Batman. The beautiful thing about DC is their willingness to try variations on themes and characters over the years. They've gone pretty far out there, or we wouldn't even have a Dark Knight comic to enjoy if DC didn't have the balls to do that kind of thing. So, I don't know. I loved it. Thought it was great. Love where it's going. I do agree. Superman could be lighter. The way they handled him in the Dark Knight comics was a little overboard, but he could be lighter. And, you know, the one thing people are consistently saying about this is it is an improvement on Man of Steel, so hopefully for you kids, Justice League will even be an improvement upon that. But personally, the Bat alone was worth everything. I hope they let Ben Affleck make 1,000 Batman movies, because it was perfect. It was as perfect as Batman could almost get, at least for that iteration, because as we know, there's long ears, short ears, middle ears, there's so many ears. For as many ears that Batman has had over the years, he's had just as many different looks, different variations, different iterations. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, we're going to be getting these movies for decades to come, so don't worry. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens after Phase 4 of the Marvel films and all the Infinity War is over. If you think half those characters are sticking around and half that style is sticking around, it's going to evolve. It's going to change. Same thing will probably happen for DC. It'll go the other way. Either way, loved it. Thought it was absolutely epic, deep, gorgeous, beautiful. And it's okay to disagree. It's okay to not like the movie. As much as it pains me to have to say this, it is just a movie, kids. You know, so, you know, if you didn't like it, fine, move on. But of course, we are going to get more because, you know, if you weren't a fan of this movie and you went and paid for it and think it's crazy that it made that much money, that's where we're at, kids. You guys will see anything. We'll all see anything. We are done. We're suckers, you know? I mean, something's got to be as tragic as a Fantastic Four for somebody not to see it. But we wanted Batman versus Superman, and that's exactly what we got. I thought Wonder Woman was wonderful, as everyone else seems to think so as well. Obviously, the favorite part of the movie for most, as me, was Batman. That scene where he just breaks into that warehouse, I've never seen anything like it, and I could watch hours and hours of that alone. So let's hope that we get to. All right, so I'm sure a lot of discussion will come up about this extremely polarizing movie a lot in whatever next few pods that I do, so we'll get into it, but I just wanted to give a little brief overlay of how I felt about the movie. Completely understand if it wasn't your cup of tea. It was definitely mine, and it was hot, and I liked it. So those are my thoughts for now on Batman vs. Superman, but let's get down to the heart of it, shall we? As I mentioned before, C2E2 2016. Flew my ass down to Chicago, and what a beautiful town, what a beautiful city. It reminded me a lot of home, reminded me a lot of Toronto, even the way it's set up right there on Lake Michigan, like the Sears Tower, it's very cool. The culture was fantastic. The movie was fantastic. The food, oh, if you haven't had that classic, traditional Chicago deep pan pizza, you gotta try it. It's, you know what, it's strange. They actually put the sauce on top of the cheese. It's weird. It was like eating pizza lasagna, but it was so delicious. Oh, so delicious. I mean, one slice filled me up for an entire evening. It was that good. I finally got the chance to experience my first White Castle, bought three sliders, took one bite, threw the others out because that was not food. Harold and Kumar have lied to us because that was the most disgusting substance I've ever put in my mouth. People kept saying to me, but you're not drunk and it's not 4 a.m. Well, let's hope I'm never so drunk at 4 a.m. that I need White Castle, because holy fuck, that filth was absolutely disgusting. Ugh, you guys think it's gross that we have Fries Supreme up here at Taco Bell? You guys got White Castle. Period, America. Think you're nuts. But that was fun. One of the really cool things to experience and witness in Chicago was the black culture. Because even though we have, you know, huge black culture here in Canada, it's very different. It's very island-based. A lot of the heritage and a lot of the traditions of the black people in Canada, at least the Ontario area, are, you know, very island-based. You hear a lot of patois around here, a lot of different speech patterns, you know, and a lot of different youthful looks. But the cool thing was to be in Chicago. It was Chicago. I was there on a Sunday, and a lot of black folks out, of course, on their way to church, just dressed in their finest. I'm talking long cashmere trench coats, alligator skin shoes, shiny gold watches, and actual nice felt fedoras. It was unbelievable. And they actually had that accent, you know? It was so cool to hear, so cool to experience. I'd love to go back to Chicago just to experience the city a little more and hang out, because, of course, I spent most of my time at the McCormick Place, which was just a beautiful convention center, just a gorgeous convention center, set up really well, luckily attached right to the hotel, which made things very convenient. And we had a fantastic time! A bunch of highlights you're going to get to hear over the next two parts of this C2E2 special. Part one, we're going to be starting off with a few of our good friends. We sat down for a patented quad cast. I sat down with Comic Pros and Cons, Derek Becker. I sat down with Drunk on Comics, and I sat down with Jimmy McKnight of the Ninja Starship Podcast, Fellow Points of Interest Podcast Network Podcast. And now I can officially announce and welcome to the network, Drunk on Comics. We're very, very proud to have Drunk on Comics joining the POI family. So from now on, you'll be able to find their fine, fine show on POI. That's Derek, Tony, Linz, and Matt. Please check them out. You can find them on POI now or at drunkoncomics.com. So it was good times. So we sat down. We had a little quadcast conversation to start the weekend. There was a lot more bar chat that happened that you'll have to go over to their shows to find. If you go to comicprosandcons.com or if you go to drunkoncomics.com, you will find more in-depth conversations. But I'm going to at least play for you the beginning of the weekend where we sat down with four podcasts for a nice quadcast. And have some pints, clinky clinky, and then we're going to bring you a few guests as we did our patented Gorilla Pod stylies down in the trenches in Artist's Alley. Most of the artists are going to come next episode on part two, but on part one, we're going to bring you the quadcast. We're going to bring you a fantastic, fun conversation with the one and only the merciless Ming Chen of the Mike and Ming Show, I Sell Comics, AMC's Comic Book Men. Ming was incredibly cool. I got to have a pint with him at the bar, got to hang out with him several times throughout the weekend, and he's just one of the most genuine, down-to-earth, likable guys you'll ever meet. It was cool. It was so cool. You'll get to hear it. Right after that, you're going to get to hear and experience 5 years in the making. That's right. I finally went to the home of Nerdette. That's right. Our girl Phoenix of Heroes and Coffee from POI. She, in fact, is a Chicagoan, and I finally got to meet her after 5 years of friendship, podcasting, and nerding out together. I finally got to meet my little Padawan, Phoenix. So you get to hear a little chat of me meeting Nerdette. After that, we bring you a little homegrown talent, fellow Torontonian artist writer, Mr. Jim Zub. That's right, he was at the show, so we had a little chat with him about what's going on. We talk about Wayward, Skull Kickers, lots of good fun stuff, and we have a little chat about the Toronto indie community, comic book community unto itself. Jim was an excellently fun guy. What a swell fellow. I can't wait to run into him at the next event, which, whether it be Fan Expo or what, it shall occur. So after I have a chat with Jim Zub, then I sit down with someone I met in Denver last year, someone I'm already a fan of. He's a YouTuber. He's got a channel called Comic Storian. And what he does is he covers over recent arcs and storylines and origins and such within the comic book world for you to catch up or stay in line or, you know, just satisfy your curiosities. So definitely go to YouTube, check out Comic Storian. Benny's a super fun guy, and I got to meet him in Denver last year, as I just said. So I got to meet up with him again, and we sat down, and we had a cool little chat, got a little more further in depth into what it is that Benny does, and that was good times. I'm really, really hoping to get to sit down with Benny someday for do a whole show, do a whole episode, because he's a fantastic interview, really, really positive, upbeat guy. So there you go. And then we're going to close it out with an old friend and prolific comic book creator, Mr. Jamal Igle. That's right. I met Jamal last year at Fan Expo as he was tabled up with our good friend Anthony Ruckgazer of The First Hero. Jamal is, of course, the creative director of Action Lab, and he's the artist creator behind Molly Danger, and something really, really cool he's got coming up this year that he's going to tell you all about during our interview. So there you go. That's going to be part one of C2E2 Quadcast, Ming Chen, Nerdette, Jim Zub, Benny the Comic Historian, and Jamal Igle. Good times indeed. Stay tuned very soon for part two. It's going to consist of a whole bunch of awesome, incredible artists. Bob Sally, Canada's own Scott Hepburn, Josh Dahl, my favorite artist working today, Ryan Lee. And of course, we cannot go through an experience like that without speaking with our very, very good friend, Rocket and Groot artist, Bodhi Troll artist, Mr. J. Fosgit. So there you go. You'll hear most of our good times through these interviews, but we had a swell adventure, kids. C2E2 is a beautiful convention, beautiful center. It's carpeted. which is, you know, just an ecstatically exciting thing for me. I love carpeting, wherever it is, in my home, in my house, in my restaurant. You'll hear me say I love Wendy's. Wendy's is my favorite restaurant, almost because, at least to eat in, maybe not their food, but to eat in, because it's carpeted. Like, God, remember when they had a salad bar even? Wendy's, always being outside the box. Grand Times, if you go to Facebook, please go to An Elegant Weapon on Facebook, and you can see all the pictures, all the pretty pictures I took of all the pretty cosplay and all the fun individuals I hung out with, including our good old friends from Michigan, the Source Point press crew. They were all down there, so many of them. Sean Seal, Casey Pierce, David Hayes, Travis McIntyre, Devin, Josh, Stephen Sherrar, Bree. I think I got everybody. If I missed anybody, I apologize. But the coolest thing about C2E2 is that it was so centralized. I met people from all over, not just from Chicago, not just from Michigan, but all over. And they all came together in this centralized con, which made it very cool because I met a lot of people that I've known online, at least for a good 5 years now. And I finally got to meet face to face. The weekend was a thrilling success. Definitely hope to go back next year. Of course, next month we've got coming up the Great Philadelphia Comic Con, and then shortly after that, Motor City Comic Con. The cons are coming, the good times are here. The Red Capes are coming. They're here as far as I'm concerned, so let's get some Red Cape bullshit going on. Part 1, here you go, kids. C2E2 2016. Booyah!
Get some volume.
I've already been recording for a minute 10 seconds, yo. What y'all behind
dude,
the game?
A minute and four.
Alright.
What is your hat?
Dragonzord.
What do you guys? It's a Power Rangers hat?
Yes,
you keep pounding the table. Like,
that's what
like,
we do.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you gotta remember not to pound the table, right?
Hi. My name's Derek.
I'm Jay.
I'm Jimmy.
I'm also Derek. And in order we have comic pros and cons.
An Elegant Weapon.
The Ninja Starship.
And Drunk on Comics.
And the guy with the radio voice.
Oh,
Jimmy
yeah.
McKnight.
We're going to all be talking like this for the rest of the episode.
All right.
Excuse me, how much is that Wonder Woman on the wall?
I want to get back to the old timey talk, where we talk really fast and weird.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, let's see here. We're going to go to the C2E2 today, and everybody's going to be really happy. It's a fun, fantastic day. It's nice and sunny outside.
The beers are $8, but that's all right.
Yeah, so it is officially day one at C2E2. Definitely got the free party in last night, and kicking things off.
Feeling the effects of last night a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Which is why I'm the only one here from the other two.
yeah, it's well, I mean, I can't say that my crew of people that came down that everyone is technically up and moving at this point. But yeah, time for a little pint in the middle of the day, and time for some kind of first thoughts.
First impressions.
Yeah.
Now, this is a great show, man.
Amazing show so
amazing
far.
Amazing show.
Really,
if you've never been here, it's mind-blowing how much stuff there
dude,
is.
Dude, breaking my C2E2 cherry, it's amazing.
Yeah. first thing of note for me was the immensity of Artist Alley.
Yeah.
It's fucking huge.
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 I still haven't gotten through all of it.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah.
I've managed to walk through about half. I've gotten a few books signed and said hello to a few people, but I mean, like, I'm cruising, like, I'm walking fast, I'm not strolling,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is fucking immense.
And you know what's crazy? That in itself, but also there's many comics, like Source Point is outside of Artist Alley.
Right, the publishers have
their
own
area. The publishers have their own area with their own booths, like, that's insane.
Yeah. But, yeah, Derek, you've been here how many times?
Zero, actually. This is my first.
I thought you were here last year.
I was not. No, I came to Motor City. That was the first one I went to.
Oh, my God. So. Bunch of fucking virgins.
I knew all three of us. It's amazing.
Yeah, just cherry juice running all over the floor.
I like the Chicago, though.
Yeah, this is...
Been a drink in old style.
No, I'm. Yeah, you made fun of me because I come to Chicago to drink a beer from that's like
Michigan. Michigan.
Half an hour away from where I live. But, yeah, whatever. Still good beer.
I like the feel of it so far. You know, it's very organized, and the carpet on the floor.
carpet on the floor.
Oh, the carpet is
spectacular.
That's one of the
reasons
Wendy's is my favorite fast food restaurant, or one of them. I love going to eat in a Wendy's because it's carpeted.
They, I don't know why. They rolled out the red carpet, no pun intended.
Oh, you were
well, yeah. Oh, I went there.
Yeah. So there are four podcasters here, which makes this what, Derek?
It is a quadcast.
Quadcast.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah. So did I pass that torch on to you as being the punny guy now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you make non-funny jokes now, too? Is that part of it?
No. I'm still funny, unlike you.
At least you're Derek now. At least you can be your own Derek and not other Derek.
Yeah, I know. I could actually be Derek.
A while there, you were other Derek.
It is funny, though, like when and you guys can go to darkoncomics.com and check it out. You guys always write a little synopsis of what the show's about. And it's funny because if no one ever listened, they wouldn't necessarily know that there was two different people named Derek because we spell it the same, too, which is a little crazy.
Yeah, we fuck those extra letters. We really use the right spelling.
Yeah, so. We're not an oil Derek.
Yep.
I
do not hold the petrol. We are good. So.
Holy shit, there's a lot of Rays here.
Ray is a very popular
Ray
cosplay.
Is the Harley Quinn of this comic.
They really
comic.
Took that where is Ray thing.
Two. Three. What? Literally. I'm just saying that. They all crossed each other. That's fantastic.
Yeah, this is... And the cosplay I've seen so far today is really good, but you guys...
Mr. Freeze.
Oh, I saw him.
Oh, my God.
That was amazing.
Not only is his costume incredible, he's carrying around a little, Nora, his wife, in like a little jar. Like she's frozen in a jar.
He's even got contacts in his eyes. Did you see that?
He's whited out.
Yeah.
Awesome. So slick.
Looks great, man.
Yeah. Wait till tomorrow, though. I mean, tomorrow is the major cosplay day. Yeah.
When's a contest? There must be a contest, right?
I don't know. I don't have a program.
Yeah, none of us have gotten a program.
Oh, I have one. I did get one, but I just dropped it back off the room because it was one of the reasons that I walked back that way. I actually brought a ton of books to get signed this year. Last year, I think I brought two. Mm-hmm. And this year, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bring some books to get signed.
Yeah, some. You brought like 50 books.
Yeah, there might be 70, but whatever.
Just counting.
Do you have a long box like on a dolly?
No. I put them all in my backpack, and that's, you know, I'm like, I'm going to do this right. But I got some signed, so I went back and I'm like, I dropped them off. And then like the Scott Snyder and the Greg Capullo, I'm like, I'm not getting anywhere near these guys. So
not till tomorrow morning. I'm coming in tomorrow morning early, like.
And head straight there?
Right away, yeah. That's the only way I saw, because as soon as we got in, dude, there was already a line wrapped around. So
yeah.
People had the same idea. They're like, get in, get it now.
Yeah.
You know?
Which means we're going to have to get in the queue.
Yep.
Yep, stand in line to get in.
Whatever. It'll be worth it.
Yeah, it's what, 10 o'clock tomorrow is when they open? I think it's 10. Yeah.
Surprisingly, the line wasn't super long to get in when I got here, and I got here early, unlike everyone else.
I was sad, though, because last year, Tony and I got to experience something that we'd never really experienced, because they let press in half an hour early last year, so they had the line for what we've been referring to as the commoners and peasants, and then the line for press,
mm-hmm.
And because we're like, ooh, we're special, and so we go in there, and they're like, all right, it's 9:30, and at this time, we will be letting the press in. And everybody in the press row goes, yeah! And the entire rest of the place goes, boo!
That's awesome that happened.
That's funny. Josh Hawks, who is a fellow curator of the Points of Interest Podcast Network, you just posted, hey, all you at C2E2 folks, have fun, and I think you should all meet up and have a super mega pod.
You should mention that.
Happening as we speak.
Way ahead of you.
Yeah.
We are missing, we're missing Chris, though. Because we got to meet up and chat with Chris Farrell of All Things Good and Nerdy.
And what about the Nerdette?
Yes, she's going to be here a little later on. So there's going to be several cross pods and quad pods all potting into a kind of a mega pod.
Sex pods?
Do we have a sex pod? If we can get a second, well. That would be amazing.
Yeah. So, that'll be fun. But anyway, cool. Well, I'm going to finish my beer, and I'm going to head back to the floor.
Me too, man.
Yeah?
Yep.
Let's do this.
I don't know if we'll be heading straight back to the floor there, will we?
Well, maybe. We might have to, you know, take
what's this Bic in my pocket?
A little detour.
Oh, it seems like it may need a flicking.
That's all right. We'll get on the Starship and head up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right.
Cheers.
All right,
cheers.
Yo.
Yeah, C2E2 Chicago standing here with the merciless one, Mr. Ming Chen. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm only merciless if there is food involved or alcoholic beverages.
Excellent. You having a fun weekend, though, yeah?
It's been truly amazing. I wish I could tell you everything. I don't know if we have enough time. We'd have to sit down and I could tell you all about my adventures.
Someday we can sit down and have a proper pot.
But yeah. Chicago is one of my favorite cities in the world. I found three speakeasies last night, like really like underground, hidden,
nice.
Secret password, locked doors,
really?
Hidden
like
entrances.
You gotta bring an egg and be like, here's an egg.
Yeah, and you know, and yeah, the blonde woman cries at midnight. It's like,
yeah. I used to remember it back in Toronto, way back in the day for like raves.
Yeah.
You'd literally have to like go to a parking lot, have an egg, then they'd give you the address, and then you'd go find the rave. Yeah,
it's almost like that, and I think things are like that are so much fun.
God, I miss the 90s.
Yeah.
Those were good times.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah, and C2E2, like one of the greatest cons ever.
Yeah,
they run a great show here.
This is your first year doing it? Or
I did it last year, and afterwards, I had so much fun, like, I got to come back.
Right.
So they let me come back.
Dude, it's really, you know what I love about this con is there's people I've been potting with and friends with online for like 5 years, and Chicago's central enough that they're all here.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm meeting, like dozens of people.
Yeah,
and
it's great.
Now,
yeah, we saw a lot of them in the hotel bar is kind of like the cantina bar, the meeting place.
They were actually playing the music last night.
Yeah.
It was funny because sometimes people don't notice and they just keep on drinking and blah, blah.
But that one, everyone stops. And like,
yeah. They were smart last night, though, because they kind of, hey, celebrities, guests, let's take you over here. And it turned into a madhouse.
Really?
It was fucking, it's like the con just kept going and moved to the lobby.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I just love, I'm loving the mix of podcasting and comic book conventions. It's a big thing now. A lot of the cons will invite podcasters out, give them press passes, give them like an area to podcast or a special access.
Yeah. Well, last year was really special at Denver. I did Denver Comic Con. My co-curator of the Points of Interest Network, he's in Denver.
Yeah.
So I went out there and they had what they called Podcast Peak. And they had a specific artist alley for the podcast.
Yeah.
It was like nine of us all lined up
there. Lined up with microphones, XLR cables.
Yeah, it was all
They give you a power strip so you can plug in your gear.
It was good times. Because there's a lot that won't. Like Fan Expo in particular, podcasts cannot get press.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just so big. I think it's hard to vet a podcast, right?
Sure.
Could be a kid in his basement.
Sure.
Could be you, right?
Yeah.
So.
But even that kid in the basement probably has an audience. You just never know.
Yeah. Well, that's what's exciting for me because I'll come to a place, somebody will be like, hey, I've heard your show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, someone
listens really?
To my show in Chicago.
That's great.
Yeah, that's super cool. Well, it's weird, though, because I don't know if everybody knows how it happened with you and Kevin, but you had a fan site.
I did.
And you were running, and he saw it and was like, do it for me.
Yep.
And so basically, you know how he's such an internet presence now.
Yeah.
That's all built off of what you built, man.
I guess that way. He was the one that had the foresight enough to be like, hey, I'm going to hop online.
Yeah.
I'm going to interact with fans.
Yeah.
Podcast, I like to talk. I'm going to start podcasting.
Yeah.
He's always one step ahead of everybody.
Right.
That's
were
what
you
makes
always
him.
Techie then? Like, just
oh, yeah.
A little kid, you're
yeah.
Always
yeah. I had 1984. I had the first Mac. Macintosh computer, and it just started from there. So.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. It's cool to learn this stuff because I was not a techie guy. When I started this podcast 5 years ago, I could barely use Facebook.
Sure.
But I've had to learn to do so much.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. That part's exciting, too.
Setting levels, editing digitally, all that stuff.
Audacity?
Yeah,
what is this?
Exactly.
Endless hours of YouTube tutorials at night, just trying to learn, you know, WordPress and make a website.
Yep, exactly. But bam, you know, slowly but surely you get there. So.
Yeah, so the transition then, you know, kind of moving away from an iSell Comics thing to the Mike and Ming show.
Yeah, not a transition, just an addition. There's always time to podcast.
Right.
I saw comics. Try to focus on the comics, which we love.
Right.
And we, what I love is we record it in the back of a comic book store, so you'll hear sprinter racks going and things like that. The Ming and Mike show, talk about whatever you want.
So
we can, you know, what do you want to talk about today?
Let's
pick a bunch of topics. Yeah. Talk about speakeasies. Let's talk about your trip to Chicago. You know.
Right.
Yeah.
How long did you know? I guess you were around then when Zapsic kind of brought in and started working in the stash.
Yeah.
Stuff. Did you guys hit it off right away?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Did the relationship build over the pod?
Yeah. No. I was. You know, we're both geeks, so we bonded over that. He loves the 80s.
Yeah.
Those 80s TV shows. So
yes,
he's
such a nice guy. Like I was telling you before. Yeah. I'm nobody. I'm this kid in his basement, literally recording on his iPhone. Hit him up on Twitter. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'll be on your show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it gives you that little bit of confidence as a podcaster that you can do
all
this.
You gotta do is ask. You know, if anyone listening now, if you have a pod, you know, just hit people up on Facebook. Anyone you want to interview, whether it be a huge celebrity or just somebody of interest, and just ask.
Yeah, it's good times. Yeah. I'm so happy for podcasting. Yep. And like, you know, Kevin says a lot, it leads to other things.
Oh, sure.
Since I've started doing this, I've gotten a few voice roles for some RPGs.
Yeah, and look at you, and you're here at, you know, here at the press pass at C2E2. Like, you never know.
I did not expect that, to be honest, because this weekend is Toronto Comic Con right now.
Yes.
So I'm usually there, and I just on a whim, I was like, I have so many friends going to C2E2.
I love Canada, but I think you chose wisely.
Yeah, you know, it's they did put together a nice lineup over there, but no, this no regrets at all. This has been a fantastic weekend.
Absolutely.
Just absolutely cool.
No, we still got a couple hours left, so
absolutely. I don't want to keep you away from too many of your friends. Ming, you're an amazing individual.
Thank you so much
for chatting with us. That's Ming Chen, AMC's Comic Book Men, the MikeandMingShow.com.
Yes.
And there you go. Do it up. You're the man.
You're the man.
Cool.
Ghostbusters looking thing going on right there.
This is how we prove to the world that we're standing here beside each other, Phoenix.
Oh, awesome!
Here we are.
Hi,
after
everybody.
5 years of pod madness, here we are.
Hey! Welcome, welcome. Thank you for having me, Jay. It's about time we see each other face to face.
Hell yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. There's quite a points of interest contingent here with you, me, and Jimmy doing
everything.
Your city is beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Hopefully someday, if I have money in the means, I'll catch up in Toronto and check you guys out.
That has to happen.
Yeah, at the Canadian Expo.
Fan Expo Canada. Fan Expo Toronto. Hell yeah.
This is a bit of a culture clash right now, actually. Because he actually told me that we have a certain dialect, and I, who've been on this earth for 30 years here in Chicago, have not realized that. And my mom was even dumbfounded, and my mom is right here. Say hi, Mom. Hi. She's shy.
Oh, that's so cool.
But it is a bit of a clash of the podcast titans here from Points of Interest. Me and the Jedi Ross of An Elegant Weapon. It's just an honor to see you for the first time face to face.
This was my number one thing, man. I'm telling you. I was like, I'm going to Chicago. I get to meet Phoenix. That's all that fucking matters.
Yes.
Excuse my language.
she's
I heard she gave you a bit of slack there.
She heard a couple of expletives come out of my mouth. And
we're
she
just
said,
being expressive.
Right.
Right? We mean no harm.
Right.
Right? We're good kids.
Because, you know, I got it from her.
We're polite. We're good children.
Right.
Right.
Cause
our mamas love us.
I got it from her, so she knows the deal. She a potty mouth, too. It runs in the family, so she should know. She can't sit there and be like, no, it ain't true. But it's true. And the thing is that she is a lot more outspoken than I am, and I'm a little shy. And you noticed that throughout the years when I first started podcasting, I was a little shy. But then the more you kept coaching me through, and I kept warming up to the whole idea, and it just becomes a blast. Have so many amazing people on the podcast. And then, of course, talking to you guys, Josh Hawkes, 303 underscore Ninja.
Yeah, yeah.
And Francis, the other guy of Critical Moment of Awesome. It was a nice
old
thing.
Family, man. Oh,
he needs to come here, too.
Oh, they'll be out. Don't worry.
Cali style needs to meet Chicago style. And he has to be here. And I know Josh. I hope to God he comes here, too, because I need to see him, too.
There's no way. They're so jealous of this weekend. There's no way that they don't come next year. Why? I promise you that. Because they want to be here so bad that they're just at home like, I hate you.
Oh, my God. They really going to hate us because Sergeant Slaughter was upstairs. You know the wrestling?
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I didn't want to take any pictures because, you know, maybe you got to pay to take pictures with those guys. So I was like, skip.
You're a Sergeant Slaughter fan?
No, I was a baby at the time.
Oh,
but he was there from like the early 90s. I can remember him. And of course, G.I. Joe, you know.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid in the 80s, man. Like, because he was on the cartoon.
Yeah.
And they made a figure of him, and we all had Sergeant Slaughter G.I. Joe figures. And he had like a group, too. He had like a team.
What's
I can't remember
the
what
team?
They were called.
I remember the cartoon.
You remember the cartoon?
Yeah.
And this is shocking because she said she remembered Jim the Hologram. So it was kind of like shocking that she even knows about those
cartoons. Well, one of his team was Refrigerator Perry. Do you remember the football player?
Right. Oh, yes.
He was a bear, too. Right.
Chicago Bear.
Yeah.
Right.
Refrigerator Perry. He was a G.I. Joe as well for a while.
Oh, my God.
Because he joined
God.
Slaughter's team, and they made a little character.
You're showing your age right now, and I'm definitely showing my age.
I got one more left, 1 year left of my 30s.
So okay? 9 years there.
1 year left to act like a fool. So.
A 9-year veteran of Earth.
Yeah.
And I'm 30, so, hey, that's not a bad age difference there?
Not at all. We're not still young. We have
but
so
you do show your age when you talk about stuff from the 80s, and I'd be like, well, dang, I was a baby. Do I have to go back in time where I had a pacifier in my mouth every time you bring up something that came out in 87 or something?
87.
I'm like, look, nice. I'm a 90s kid here.
Yeah, yeah. You're all about Power Rangers and that kind of nonsense.
Yeah, well, don't be acting like
you and Jimmy. You and Jimmy and your Power Ranger love. But you're going to a special screening
yes,
of
I
Batman
am.
Versus Superman on
yes,
what, Monday?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, you lucky woman.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Finally, eh?
The most intimidating thing about it is that it's the first time I've ever been to a fan screening.
Okay, yeah.
So, and it's going to be surrounded by press, so it's pretty like, oh, wow. I got to arrive at least about 6 hours early before the screening. Because that line is going to be packed. Somebody's going to be camping out in a hammock or something. It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be you know? Exciting. I'm so
but,
jealous of you for that.
So when are you going to see Batman V?
I think Thursday, whenever the 25th is. I think it starts Thursday. So I'll probably go Thursday at midnight or something like that. It's
awesome.
Only like 4 days off, you know.
So we got to go on spoiler alert and
oh,
talk
yeah.
about this,
we'll
man.
We'll do it. We'll do it up. I know exactly what we're going to talk about. You're going to spend an hour talking about how bad Wonder Woman is.
Oh, you know me. I've been waiting 30 years to see Wonder Woman.
Oh, hold on. Jimmy!
Oh.
That was me calling to the Jimmy McKnight across from the C2E2, our third member of the Points of Interest Podcast Network
Woo!
Who is here. Look at this. We get to do a live introduction.
Oh my
Ladies
God.
And gentlemen. Phoenix, to Nerd Dad, I'd like to introduce you to Jimmy McKnight of the Starship.
How are you?
There you go.
Pleasure to meet you.
You're new to our family, actually.
I am.
Thank
I'm brand new.
I'm so glad to be here to meet you guys.
That's
this
great
amazing.
To meet you.
I'm trying not to get so nervous. This is the first time I actually get to see you guys face to face.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay.
He's probably taller than you thought. she said I was shorter than she
yeah,
thought.
Yeah.
Oh, so, oh, I know.
Yeah. Up old stuff,
she's man. Exactly the size I thought she'd be. All right, so we're going to have an exciting year. This has been a great show.
Yeah.
And you, to end it off, have recommended that we cannot leave without trying the pizza.
Oh, yes.
And we just got to go to the Loop area, and there's a few places.
Mad Mile, try the pizza, Gino's East or Giordano's Pizzeria. There's a lot of bars around here you guys are going to love. Nice beer here. Definitely go to Magma. It's beautiful at night. You guys are going to love it. Take your ladies with you. You got your ladies with you. Go around. Just have a ball. Have a walk. But yes. And welcome to my hometown.
Yeah, that's right. Here we are in the land of Dinerdat. Oh, it's so exciting.
Yes.
After years, it's finally happening. Kids, another exciting year. It's just going to keep on going. Brand new Ninja Starship,
Woo.
Pretty much our flagship show on POI these days, is Heroes and Coffee.
Yes, sir.
Are you kidding? Like,
yes. And then an Elegant Weapon Year yourself.
Yeah, well, I don't know about you on your other side stats and stuff, but as far as our straight-up POI stats, this is the show right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, right.
Your debt, running things. I'm not kidding. Hey, this is math. This is numbers. You can't lie about numbers, and you got them, doll.
But you get the big interviews, man, and I was totally amazed at all the amazing indie comic book artists that you guys get, the artists, the mainstream artists on your show. That is magic.
You just interviewed Wonder Woman.
Well, yeah.
What are you talking
but
about?
That was
Hell
my
yeah,
first
yeah.
major one, though. That's my first right. major one, though, and I was pretty nervous doing that, just that.
Well, you did fantastic, and it was amazing. And everybody should go listen to that, Susan Eisenberg on Heroes and Coffee
yeah.
on pointsofinterestpodcast.com.
Right.
Kids, 2016, here we go. Say goodnight.
Take it easy, you guys.
Later.
Excellent!
Cool, it's been a busy weekend?
It's been great.
Yeah?
Yeah, really fantastic.
That's awesome to hear.
I haven't been to Chicago in 5 years because it always conflicted with another show that I do in Canada. And so, really thrilled to be back, and the response has been awesome.
Well, it does feel kind of weird with TO Comic Con going on this weekend.
Right.
Hey,
yeah, the hometown show.
Oh, Like, I applied for press here just on a whim.
Yep.
And I got it, so I was like, oh. And then Toronto went ahead and put an amazing lineup they got.
Right.
A bunch of good people over there. Not that this isn't super awesome as well.
But, right, right.
And there's a lot of us up here. I mean, you and there's all the Raid kids are
Yuppers.
Over there.
Yeah, it's kind of fun seeing so many. But because we're all so busy, sometimes the only time I see people is in other cities. Even though we're all friends, you're like,
yeah.
Man, we never see each other in our hometown. We got to go to shows in order to hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Awesome. It's good times. So do you get around much? How far do you travel?
I mean, I've done shows in England. I've done, overseas. But most of the ones I do are in the U.S. So I tend to do a lot of shows in the Northeast, obviously.
Right, it's a little easier to
yeah.
just kind of boot down south a bit, yeah.
But I do, I'm usually at San Diego Comic-Con or... I've done WonderCon in L.A. and stuff like that. All kinds of different ones.
Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah,
it's good. It's fun.
And sometimes we don't realize how spoiled we are at home because, Toronto is such a... It's so big.
Yeah.
There's so much happening that it almost breaks into its own sections. You got your Brampton crew and you got your
Absolutely.
Saga crew and your Oakville crew. And we have so many cons going on all the time.
And there are a lot of comic book creators as well. There's a really robust... creative community as part of Toronto I can take for granted sometimes, I think.
Well, we forget. I mean, when you think about the amount of top-tier artists who are living in Ontario,
mm-hmm.
David Finch, Jason Fabok, Ty Temple, like the list goes on and
on. Oh, yeah.
And it's crazy, but it's cool, though, because you're also in a position where you get to mentor stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys are all awesome for helping, the little guys come up. Like, is that an important thing to you, obviously?
I feel like a little guy. I don't know. It feels weird to me.
Man.
It's strange. To me, the whole thing is just, are people making cool stuff? And, if I can give people a heads up on maybe some minor pitfalls, that's great. But yeah, I still feel like I'm learning all the time. I don't know, that's just the natural state of it.
Right, of course. There's a nice connection there, especially 2 weeks ago I had a few of the editors for the comics of the Toronto Comics Anthology.
Oh, cool.
And what was it? You did the foreword for Volume 2?
That's right, yep.
Yeah, and it's just so cool. You're doing that, it helps give a little exposure to all the awesome stuff we've got going on in the city,
Yeah, it's really fun, though, and it's nice to see those types of independent projects where people are motivated to build something instead of just, I think a lot of people are like, I'd love to see something happen. And you're like, well, you can make something happen. You can get stuff underway. Now it's easier than ever with, Kickstarter, with the type of the technology we've got. You've got professional quality pre-press on your laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like it used to be where this was high-end expensive equipment that only a handful of people had access to.
Right.
We've all got professional editing suites. We've all got, all that stuff. I mean, you're recording this
on a tiny little Zoom one.
Right?
Yeah, things like an ounce.
And that's what's incredible is we're all able to kind of work anywhere and build something really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're also lucky as far as the culture in Toronto, as far as the education,
mm-hmm.
The museums,
Absolutely.
Sheridan College. There's so many opportunities to develop as an artist in that area. That, it's not surprising that we have a very artistic community, It's fantastic.
Absolutely agreed.
Because I go to a lot of the smaller shows. I do Motor City Comic Con in Michigan every year. And of all the shows I've been to, that's probably the one that there's this real sense of community where everybody just wants to lift each other up. You know what I mean?
Very
it's
cool.
A really beautiful thing in Michigan. It really, really is.
That's
cool.
Awesome.
And,
I haven't been to that show yet.
I would recommend it. There's a lot of heart. It's just one of those.
Very
it's like a
cool.
mid-tier con, but
right.
with so much heart,
That's awesome.
Yeah. In fact, Sean Daly,
mm-hmm.
he's getting quite big there.
Yeah?
And I take a little bit of credit for it because I got a bit of a following in Michigan, and I'm always pumping Sean. Just
right, right.
Not only is he becoming rapidly so much better day by day, but he's just such a nice guy.
Sure. And those are the people you want to see succeed. They're putting the time in, and they're not taking it for granted either,
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. He's only been drawing, 4 years now, but it's a constant thing,
That's awesome.
And it's cool to put how much, that much effort. So how did you come up through that way then? What was your,
I did a web comic. So my background's in animation. So I went to school. I went to Sheridan for
you
classical animation.
Sheridan.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then I started working in the Canadian comic book industry. Animation industry. And so I was doing, various kind of animation at a couple of different studios. I lived in Calgary for a bit. I lived in Halifax for a bit doing production work. And then... I wanted to do something that I controlled. You know, animation's amazing, but there's a lot of people to get one episode out the door, and you feel like your contribution can be pretty small in a big production. And so I was like, man, I really want to have more kind of control over the final product. And I'd seen people were serializing webcomics online, but they were doing a lot of comedy stuff, and I thought, I wonder if you could do a more dramatic story. And so I put together the story idea, and I started serializing it. This is 2001. Okay. This is September 2001. I started serializing this story online. I would do 3 pages a week, come hell or high water. And it was a really good testing ground for me to be able to sort of, can I put out regular content? Some pages were better than others, but I was learning how to tell a story in comics. And so after about 6 or 7 months, I got a message from Scott McCloud, the guy that does Understand Comics. And he was like, I'm reading this, and I really like it. You know, not a lot of people are doing dramatic stories online, and I think this is really cool. You know, and we just started to stay in touch. And he said, you know, I think digital is going to be big. And it's, you know, but in 2001, it wasn't for sure.
Yeah,
you know?
That's an early call.
And so he said, look, you know, you should come to San Diego Comic-Con because there's going to be a whole bunch of us talking about digital comics. And I thought, I'll never be able to get down there. I'll never be able to afford. Like, I was still, you know, just out of school and stuff. And so, through the community that he knew and other webcomic people, I found somewhere to crash, and someone vouched for me and got me a badge, and I was able to go to the show. The last step was literally my dad clearing enough off my visa that I could buy a plane ticket for this thought that I would only ever do this once in my life.
Yeah.
Now, I've been to San Diego Comic Con 15 years in a row.
Have you really?
Yeah,
holy,
but at the time, it felt like, this will be the only time ever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was actually the start of an obsession. How did I know, right? So, and so I ended up meeting all sorts of amazing people and having these really great social experiences and realizing I wanted to do more comic book stuff. So over the next couple of years, got more experience, learned more about the business, ended up hooking up with a studio of artists in Toronto called the Udon Studio. They did the Street Fighter comics. They do a bunch of stuff like that.
Right on.
And learned about publishing, learned about the business, learned about all the under-the-hood stuff that no one tells you about, how a book gets made, how a book gets printed, how all this stuff fits together, so that when it came time for me to make my own books again, and I launched Skull Kickers at Image in 2010, I had the extra knowledge of marketing, the extra knowledge of how publishing works, and so I could really leverage that and kind of build a little bit faster.
Right.
But it was like an 8-year process, you know?
Yeah.
But this has always had, and most people didn't hear about me until Skull Kickers. And so they're like, oh, you came out of nowhere. I'm like, yep, 8 years of coming out of nowhere.
But an 8-year overnight project.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, pretty natural for a lot of different fields.
How you doing, sir?
Doing well. How about you?
Good.
Who am I signing this to?
Robin and James, R-O-B-I-N.
You got it.
You guys having a fun show?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Right on.
Cool.
Yeah. You guys local, Chicago kid?
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome.
And James?
Yes.
So it's $10 even.
Okay. Do you guys take credit or?
On a small purchase, it's not really.
Okay, I'll
get cash.
Got
the 10, that'd be ideal. Yeah. So we pay a fee per transaction.
Yeah,
so.
No, I understood. Yeah.
Well, that's the tough part. Is this hard coming this way over the border as far as, you know, with the tax? I know when the small publishers come up
right.
to Fan Expo, it's a lot of detail.
Oh,
like,
totally.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is because my publisher is American, they're dealing with a lot of that stuff, so getting the books here and everything else. So I don't have to, I'm not sending stuff back and forth over the border or anything.
Right.
So, thank you so
right,
much.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Really appreciate
right.
it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so, well, going to San Diego for that many years then...
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the plan. It just worked out that way.
Right, beautiful.
So then I started going with Udon Studio, you know, and helping them while I was there. But, yeah, it was really about building up my knowledge of how publishing works, how comics work, how the storytelling works. And so I started to get little writing projects in, like, 2005, 2006, 2007. And around 2009, I started to do writing where I was getting paid, you know, for stories I was doing for other people. And then launched Skull Kickers around 2010 and started to really get more offers because I could show them that I could do a quality book, that I could put the stuff out on time.
Right.
And then it started to snowball pretty steadily. And if you look at my bio, it's like a smattering of projects from 2002 to 2008. And then 2009, 2010, it just starts, there's like four or five projects a year start popping
that's
at that
awesome.
Point.
Yeah.
You know? And so then that's when you've got enough head of steam that, you know, and enough people have seen you enough times that this trust built up, you know? Right. So an editor, particularly because I was doing sword and sorcery stuff, I was like a go-to guy. They would say, oh, if it's, you know, got a dragon in it, like, we should call Jim. He should pitch on it, you know, or something like that. So you just get more opportunities because you're on their mind,
right,
you know,
right,
and that's when it really starts to come together.
Right, right. You've seen a hell of a process then, man, like, especially as far as, like, Fan Expo. Like,
right. I mean, Fan Expo was so tiny.
I've been going to Fan Expo for about 15 years.
Right, right.
It's such a different
unbelievable.
Beast now. It's
and Calgary Comic Expo as well.
I was at
the first Calgary Comic Expo, and they had 1,500 people showed up, and last year they had 80,000 people show up.
It's crazy because there's a lot of these big cons. I did Denver last year as well, and they're in like their fourth year.
Yeah.
And they're almost at like, you know.
Well, that's the convention culture is unstoppable now because it's no longer nerd culture. It's mainstream culture.
Yeah.
The Avengers movie is mainstream culture.
Yeah.
You know, Game of Thrones is mainstream culture. Everyone's partaking of it. It's no longer a niche. It's broad excitement about the same thing that we've been looking at for years.
Well, it was all us kids growing up from, like, you know, the 80s and 90s and stuff, and now we're all in our 30s and 40s, and we're running all this stuff, you know?
It's true. No, it's
totally
true.
All the stuff we loved is the stuff we want to see.
The decisions that are being made now, those people that are making entertainment decisions, they are the nerds of yesteryear, you know? That's all there is to it. So, it's huge.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. So, what's coming up?
So, I've got, I'm doing the Thunderbolts book for Marvel. That launches in May. In April, I'm doing the new Dungeons & Dragons comic series for IDW.
Nice.
Wayward is my Image series, and that's continuing onward. And then I have a new creator-owned project that's going to be announced shortly. That's all I can say right now. So
ooh, exciting
very
stuff.
Very excited about
coming
that.
Jim's up.
Yeah.
That's very awesome. And you're on all the usual stuff. I know I'm a friend of yours on Facebook.
Right, right.
And so you're on Facebook.
Find me on Twitter, at Jim's Up. My website is jimsup.com. And on there, in addition to the typical kind of interviews and articles, I've got a lot of tutorials.
Oh, right
so
on.
So talking about how to write a script, how to pitch a story, how some of the economics of the business works. So some stuff that I think some other people may not cover very regularly. I tend to have that sort of stuff on my blog as well.
Fantastic, man. Well, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Taking a few minutes and chatting, and we'll see you at least again at the end of August.
Absolutely.
And who knows? Maybe we'll have a chat in between sometime.
That would be great.
Work it up. Awesome. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, dude. Take it easy.
Yeah. Exterminate. Exterminate. And here we are, kids. We're hanging out with Benny, the comic historian. If you kids remember, you met Benny last year at Denver Comic Con. We had a quick little chat. And here I've ran into you at C2E2.
Yeah, no, hey, how's it going? How have
good,
you been?
Man. I've been great, man. Just podding along, con after con, as it sounds like you've been doing too,
right? Yeah, he's like, pretty much been doing one every month at this point, going off to something.
Doing enough cons that the sound you hear is him trying to break open some Tylenol.
Yeah, exactly. I was just thinking that too. Is there like no way to open
this? I think it's a teether, man. I think it's a
like
teether.
It's like a child proof.
Yeah.
And I'm a child, so I can't get this open.
Human proof.
Holy crap. I don't have keys either.
So,
I don't have keys, I'm going to stab it.
We're going to burn this thing open in a minute. Good God.
Oh, I only need one package of them, too, so that'll work.
You got it? Are you, Jimmy
Steve is
fine. He's got teeth like a vulture. That's how you do it. Good time. So, for anybody out there who doesn't know, Benny the Comic Historian, the Comic Historian is a YouTube channel, and you guys break out comic book origins, arcs, such things, you know. How did you describe it?
We recap comic books, the latest arcs. We try to get people caught up on what's currently coming out, so that way if an issue just ended on issue 6, issue 7 you can go in and you know exactly what's been happening.
Yeah, which is the reason that I discovered your YouTube channel, because it's big for me where, you know, especially as a podcaster, I read as many comics as I can, but you can't read them all.
Exactly.
So sites like yours are just gold for me, and I will sit there and just, I'll get lost. I really will. I'll just go video after video. Because guys like you, I think it's very important for those of us who want to keep up on things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and purposely, and at least in my situation, I try to leave out enough that if you decide, oh, I really enjoyed this story and you want to go read it yourself,
There's
still something to discover. It's not just a situation of, oh, I gave you the whole story, you don't need
it.
Right,
you're not going like panel by panel.
No.
You're not like reading
skip
the book.
Ahead a lot of times. Sometimes I get accused of skimming a little too much, but I feel like that's kind of like, with the amount of videos we put out, that sometimes is just going to happen.
Right,
sometimes I'm just trying to get through them in a hurry to get to the core points of the value. And
yeah.
what's happening in the actual story as opposed to the additional
the
context.
Guts of the kind of
right, I mean, it's just like a TV show. They have to fill 20 to 30 pages. They to fill it, so.
Yeah, well, it's always like a leading connection for me, because I'll, like, read a comic, and then I'll hear about something, and I'll be like, oh, I don't want to go read that other 20-story arc or 4-story arc, so I can just go on your channel and, like, you know, look something up, and it makes it so much smoother, you know. I think they're about, like, also, you and Variant. There's a, no, Valiant. Is Valiant or Variant?
No, Variant's the channel. Valiant's the comic book company that does Archer and Armstrong.
So he's Variant is another one as well. But you and Variant, I'm
Variant. We're good friends. We chat a lot. He does the same thing.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
Okay.
Same thing with Comics Explained. Yeah. He's actually here right now. He's the other channel that does a lot
really?
Of the recaps. Yeah.
That's rad, man. I love that you guys do that stuff. It's so helpful. So you were just mentioning you're waiting for an animator. Can you tell us what's happening?
We just launched a series. I'm calling them Quickies. It's basically like animated versions of like 2 minutes to recap on a character.
Okay.
And we're tying him into the movie launches and stuff like that. So like we did 2 minutes of the origin of Batman, 2 minutes of Deadpool's history. And the animator animates all that stuff. But apparently he lives in Chicago, so we're meeting up here.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That works out. So, like, is it going to be, like, motion comic, do you know? Or is he literally, like,
oh, he's literally hand-drawing
out?
Everything. Yeah,
right?
So that we own the actual video as opposed to kind of going into a weird fair use area of taking comic panels and removing stuff.
But how long have you been doing it now? When did you start it?
2 years now. We just crossed the 2-year marker.
Again,
yeah.
Wow. You guys have grown so huge.
It was unexpected. We started the whole thing off, and within a couple of months, everyone started coming to the channel, and I literally started it as just a side hobby on top of other stuff I was doing. So
really?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Where's that come from? Were you like into video editing or like?
We were editing videos for video games. And
oh.
I just got out of the military, so I wanted to start pumping out more videos. But my wife runs that channel with me, and she, of course, doesn't really. Like, we already had a schedule in place. Everything was going fine. She didn't really want to add to the schedule. So I was like, well, I like comic books. Let me do comic book oriented stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where that came out of. I started
doing
the comic book stuff,
man.
And now it's expanded to the point where we're doing requests for the big two. We're doing requests for the signed little stuff.
That is so cool, eh?
I just did Death of Superman for DC's channel. It'll come out. It'll come out around their.
Is that something they requested?
Yeah,
because the whole thing's popular right
they
now.
They requested something for Batman v Superman. So I just gave them a list of videos I had coming up that I planned to go around it, and they just picked one out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. And you just mentioned the military. What branch? What were you in?
I was in the Army for 9 years.
Wow, 9 years.
Yeah, I also started the whole video game thing. After 2 tours overseas, my wife was like, I don't want you to go back again. And I got injured overseas, so they were offering VA medical retirement, and she found YouTube, and we were like, well, that'll be a nice combination of income. We can make that work.
Right. And you have other people who come in and help you and do the stories as well, yeah?
I do now, yeah. We have a team. I have editors, so I pretty much read the story, write the script up, send the audio off to these guys. They put together everything.
Very nice. Yeah. How many people are in the team these days?
4 of us total. That includes me. So.
And what's the circle? Like, do you have a circle specific, like, say, day that you put anything out, or just kind of as you make
every day.
Every day?
Yeah, we have an everyday schedule now, yeah.
I didn't know you were going that fast.
Yeah,
man.
Every day we put something. That's why I have three editors now.
That excites
me. So every
me,
day
man.
We put stuff out, and so on the weekends sometimes we double up on them.
Right.
Yeah, because it's YouTube, so you got to worry about watch time and views.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I like doing indie books, and I like doing more of the obscure titles.
Okay.
So what we try to do is tie in, like, oh, we're going to do an obscure title today, but I'm also going to put out this Batman story you didn't know about.
Keep it even.
Right, so for the sake of YouTube, I've now got my views, but I'm able to show people books I want them to see.
Okay, yeah. YouTube's a whole monster I don't understand at all, man.
Right, well, YouTube's entire revenue-based system is off of watch time. So I can put out stuff that I enjoy, but if you don't like it and you don't watch it...
Yeah, nothing's going to come of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Much, right? Yeah. That's super cool, man. That's very neat. Well, kids, as you hear, that's a daily involvement now. Do you ever see... what's the other one I love? Emergency Awesome?
He does do it.
Charlie, I think.
He's the only guy that I've met in this little circle of YouTubers that do the comic book stuff that I think works like double my time. I already do like 12-hour days, and that dude... never stops.
Yeah.
I've tried chatting with him, and like, we'll chat on Twitter and stuff, and he'll be like, he wants to be in the podcast we do and stuff, but he has no time. Like, at all.
Right.
Half the time he'll be like, oh, I can be there on Thursday, and then he'll be like, oh, I'm working on like 9 videos, can't do it.
Well, he does them instantly.
Yeah.
Like, the second they come out. Like, I wonder, does he have family or anything?
I have no idea, because he'll be like, I saw a tweet from last night. He was like, Daredevil's coming out in 2 hours. Don't worry, I'm going to get out my Game of Thrones first. I'm like, What?
Yeah.
How do you have time for that?
And you know what? I was trying to think about why I like him. Because he's a mellow guy.
Yeah.
You know, he just lays it out straight. His opinions aren't, like, controversial or not controversial.
No, he just gives you the facts,
there's
you know?
There's something there, though, that he's very pleasant. There's something, like, enjoyable watching him. But the facts he gives you are just on point and right there. Like, I wonder sometimes how much he knows all that stuff, too, you know? And not just the time to make the videos, but to comb through for those Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Like...
Because, I mean, I like to pride myself on having quite a bit of knowledge and be able to link a lot of the stories together with just in my mental mind space, you know?
Right, right.
But he can pull Easter eggs and stuff out that I'm sitting here like, I didn't even catch. How did you find that crap?
Yeah. So, do you have, like, rules for yourself as far as what you'll do? Like, as far as the companies or titles?
The rule I keep across the board, and I don't accept payments. I don't do advertising, stuff like that for the companies. I only do stuff that I enjoy.
Oh, okay.
And I do that by, like, look, you can send me your book if you want, but if I don't enjoy it, I won't read it. So I won't put it up on the channel.
Right.
So I'm fine buying the books. I'm fine doing all that stuff. And I keep my own, like, it's only what I enjoy.
Right.
And that's my rule on the channel. If I don't enjoy it, I just don't talk about it.
Okay.
I try to avoid all negativity, and I just avoid talking about it.
Okay. Do you get a lot of requests then?
I do.
Like,
and
so
I'll
how do you go about that? Like, if someone requests something, say you get a really popular request from, like,
I'll read the book.
You'll read it?
Yeah.
And if I don't enjoy it,
I'll normally respond to a few people, be like, no, we're not doing that one. A great example is I wasn't a huge fan of Before Watchmen,
mm-hmm.
and I get requests for Before Watchmen. So
right,
I'm not doing Before Watchmen. I'm not a huge fan of it. And if I'm not a fan of it, I can't be, like, energetic in the video. I can't really hype it up. And if I can't hype it up, I feel like I'm doing a disservice.
Okay, because
I'm taking away from a video where I could hype it up.
Right.
I could give you
what you're looking for.
I love that.
I do the same thing on my show. Like, I'll have a lot of comics on, but I always read them first.
Yeah.
Because it's mainly I'll interview independent creators, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, even if I don't love the book, as long as I don't hate it, I'll talk to them about it just to give them a platform. You know, who knows? Maybe they might improve, but I try so hard not to be negative. Because it's just a waste of time.
It is. I used to, when we launched the channel, I used to be like one book a week we would tear apart. And we'd be like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
And I found it was, like, I hated doing it half the time. Because if I decided to tear apart a book and give you my complaints, well, maybe your complaints are different. Or maybe you enjoyed it. And now you want to start a debate with me about a book that I just didn't enjoy. There's no particular reason I didn't enjoy the book. That's simply
it's not your cup of tea.
Right.
Sort of
it might not be in my wheelhouse or something like that. It's just not what I read.
Absolutely.
And people don't get that. They're like, oh, no, you have to read it because it's amazing. I don't have to read it. Like, if I don't like it, I don't have to read it. Why?
Yeah. I wonder, like, on your level, like, how much you got to fight the negativity as far as the trolls and probably the comments.
I will say I have the best audience ever
because
I don't seem to have that many trolls. They exist. Some people are like, why do you have to be dramatic? Why do you have to yell over here and do this? And I'm like, I don't know. The other 600,000 subscribers really like it, so I'm good.
Yeah. I'm just being me. Well, as you've grown, have you had to consciously say to yourself, I gotta stay me, I gotta be true to me, and do
I did, because as we got bigger, a lot of the independent publishers were like, hey, we'll give you money to do our book. And so then it became a game of, do I want the paycheck, or do I want to keep my integrity and do what I enjoy?
Right.
And so, since the channel is successful, I'm lucky enough to be able to say, I'm going to keep my integrity instead of taking the paycheck.
Right.
You know, if the channel ever plummeted, maybe I have to reconsider that. But
I don't see that happen anytime soon, man. Have you delved into Dark Horse much?
I've done their gaming comics.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've done, like, Halo, and I've done Tomb Raider and stuff like that.
Right.
I haven't touched on many of their independent stuff, like Fight Club and things like that, they're doing in-house.
Have you ever considered a Star Wars video or two? Or?
I'm doing the Marvel run with it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Because basically we try to do stuff to keep people up to date, and as much as I love some of the old Dark House stories,
Disney
literally said, it's gone.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
pointless. That was hard to get over, man.
It was so much history. On one hand, I was like, you threw away so much history you could do stuff with.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I was like, this is good because there's a lot of people who haven't been following Star Wars. So this is a fresh start. We can do this, and it gives me new comics to mess with, and people can. And there's no game of, oh, what about that thing where Chewbacca died? Nope, not in continuity.
What
about that thing of Darth Maul's history? Not in continuity. Just go away.
Totally.
These three books Marvel's doing, that's all you got to worry about now.
I spent 20 years or whatever reading from the novels in the 90s to the comics that started coming out, because, like, that's how I came to Star Wars. I actually became a Star Wars freak through the comics. And got obsessed with all that, so I've got long boxes of them, read them forever. All of a sudden, all that's thrown out the window, so I'm going to be like, ugh. But what they started doing has been mostly so good that I basically said what you just said to myself. I was like, look, this is a chance for something new, to go even further, to go even more with it, and if we're lucky, maybe we'll get a little drop of EU in there once in a while.
Exactly.
Which they did. which thrilled me when I saw Force Awakens. You know, they named him Ben. Sure, it's only one of them. You know, but they named the kid Ben.
That doesn't mean we can't have another kid. I mean,
this
one already went missing. What about the others?
Yeah, there you go. Well, also, it's like, who knows what's going to come?
For all we know, Luke, Han, and Leia are the worst parents in the world, and there's like nine kids out there that they've just ditched.
There's a whole clan of Skywalkers and Calrissians out
there. They're just out there. No one knows what the hell's going on.
But you know, everybody's talking about Rey maybe being his daughter. Luke's daughter.
I don't think they're going to go that route.
I don't think so
either. I want to say that's the great idea, but I think it's too obvious.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
Me too.
It's so obvious, I don't know why they didn't say something at the end of the movie. It's that obvious. So.
Yeah, I think there's more to it. But if they did go that way, I mean, certain things are still open enough that, okay, well then who's their mom? And they actually maybe use Mara Jade.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love it if they brought back Mara Jade.
Yeah,
and they even said that they're going to dip into the EU, which is one thing
I
do like.
Yeah, yeah,
so.
Yeah. I recently had John Ostrander on the show, and he wrote a lot of the Dark Horse Star Wars comic books, and we were talking about that, and he's like, I don't care at all. I was like, well, how would you feel that all your work's kind of erased from canon? And he was like, have you read the new stuff? It's great.
Yeah.
Like, that's where he went.
My only complaint with the new stuff is, since they're doing the whole before 4 and 5 thing, like, and they're trying to hype up this whole Luke and Darth Vader are going to meet. And you're like, no, they're not.
Yeah,
like, that can't happen. Yeah, just they can't.
Well, unless they somehow finagle it. You never know what
everyone
like
forgets it happened.
Yeah, totally. But I love how they went, like, other directions. Like, we find out about Green Squadron.
Yeah, exactly.
All this weird stuff. And the Vader comic.
And Han's wife.
Yeah.
Quotation.
Yeah.
No one can see, but I'm air quoting.
Yeah, air quotes.
It doesn't work
air
in a podcast.
Oh, totally. Good times. Yeah, man, I won't take up too much of your time, but kids, go to YouTube, Comic Story, and you do fucking awesome work, man.
Oh, thank you so much.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. No, Will Robinson. Danger.
Now watch the weirdness of how I start this podcast.
Okay.
Jamal Igel?
Yes.
Because I had to go up to make sure it was Jamal Igel.
That's correct.
Jamal Igel's looking fit as fuck.
Thank you.
Are you kidding
me,
man? Nicely done.
Thank
you know,
you.
Way
Thank
to
you,
whip health in the ass.
Oh, absolutely.
It's good to see you again, man.
It's good to see you, too.
You do C2E2 a lot?
No, this is my first time back in,
right,
like, 3 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What spurred that? Why haven't you been here?
My daughter's birthday usually landed on the weekends that they did it the past couple of years.
Oh, right on.
So,
right,
you know,
right.
She wants to have a party. Papa's got to be there.
Of course, man. How old is she?
She's going to be 8 this year.
Oh, that's adorable. My boy's 5.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Nice to have a little one.
Yeah.
How's she about Molly Danger? Does
oh,
she love
she's Molly's biggest cheerleader. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
She's constantly telling people, my papa, he's got a brand new comic book character. It's called Molly Danger.
Right, right. Is she following the footsteps at all? Is she a comic
kid
or just kind of the stuff
She reads. Reads comics. She's starting to amass a little collection. I pick up stuff for her from my local shop. Like, I'll get her, like, Gem and the Holograms or My Little Pony I got her the new Grumpy Cat. Not the original one, but
the new series. Sure.
So, you know, stuff like that. She wants me. I got her Vader's Little Princess, and now she wants Darth Vader and Son.
I
got to buy a copy of Darth Vader.
Well, we'll
Vader
have to get Fozzie to draw her up a little pony or something
I think
sometime.
So.
He owes me a few favors. I think we can work that out, you know? So in the past recent years, you're not so much doing the big two stuff anymore.
No,
really
a little bit.
But you've really kind of knuckled down a bit on concentrating on your stuff like Molly.
Yeah. Well, I think the idea kind of evolved. You know, I didn't have a problem doing big two stuff.
Sure.
But at the same time, I like the freedom of being able to pick projects that interest me.
Right.
If it's not going to be something that I'm generating myself.
Right.
So, for example, like something like doing the Kiss miniseries I did for IDW, or doing the Terminator for Dark Horse, or working on Molly, or working on Black, the graphic novel I've got coming up.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Just the stuff that draws my interest, and not keeping the same kind of hectic schedule that you would keep working on a monthly project.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, picking and choosing your spots.
Yeah, because it's a lot. A monthly book is a lot of work.
It's a lot. That coupled on the fact that I'm still the marketing director at Action Lab Entertainment.
Right.
So, you know, I have to be careful of how I spend my time each day. And I've got a daughter. I've got a wife. I got a family. I've got, you know, responsibilities outside of work.
Of course.
You know, the last couple of years really has been just trying to find balance in everything.
Sure.
you know, just personally and
life every day, man. I totally
it's hard. It's hard, and there
you
are
in the basement 3 hours talking to your friends on the computer.
I'm
a podcaster, damn it.
I get that. You know, you have that. You're having a meeting, like we have, like a Skype meeting, like an actual Skype meeting at like 9:30 on a Monday night. Corinne's just sort of like, what are you doing? Why are you still? Are you guys done yet? It's like, I'm still, we're talking. We got business stuff to take care of.
So, the Actionverse.
Yes, Actionverse.
The big giant crossover.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Is it completely finished
yet? It's done. It's done. It's coming out in April and May.
Nice.
Yeah, so the first three parts, it's, you know, I know for people who are not familiar with what we're doing, Action Lab Entertainment has a bunch of different superhero properties. We have The First Hero by Anthony Rutgazer.
What?
We have Molly Danger by myself, of course. We have Stray by Vito Del Sante and Sean Isaacs. We have the book that launched Action Lab Entertainment, Fracture, by Sean Gabbert and Chad Ciccone. And we're putting all of those characters in a six-issue crossover. And it's an old-school kind of multi-dimensional Crisis on Infinite Earths We wanted to do something fun. We wanted to do something that was a little bit of a throwback to that type of story. And we came up with something. It was everybody involved, all the writers involved, over the course of about 6 months hammering out beats of the story, everybody going off and writing their individual issues or drawing their individual. In my case, I wrote and drew the Molly Danger issue.
Right, of course. Yeah. Was it a lot? Was it more or less effort than you thought it was going to be?
Some projects like this, because, you know, I've been involved with, like, you know, multi-title crossovers before over the years. Projects like that, they have their own unique challenges. There's a lot of coordination that's involved. You know, because it's creator-owned projects, you don't want to, you know, screw with anybody. You don't want to, like, fuck up anybody's characters.
Right,
you know,
well, I guess that takes a lot of planning.
It does. And from a writing standpoint, you want to make sure that you're getting the voices of these other characters that you're using. Right. So, you know, there's a lot of checking and double-checking and really just kind of, like, trying to create this one cohesive narrative.
I can't wait to sit down and read it all.
It's fun, man. I sat down and read, like, through the whole thing the other day, and again, like, I had a little bit of a breather because I've been working on other stuff, but I went back and purposely read through every single issue, and it's a great jumping on point for each of the titles, which is primarily why we're doing it this way. Right. And it's just a fun story, and you know, It encouraged me to allow other creators to use Molly because they were all so respectful of the vision that I have for her as a character. So it's just fun. I can't wait for people to see it. Like,
what was the graphic novel you just mentioned, Black?
Black, we just finished the Kickstarter. It's myself, Kwanzaa Osafajo, Kari Randolph, and Tim Smith III.
Okay.
And it's a 140-page graphic novel. It's coming out at the end of the year. The concept is very simple. It's a black world. It's a world where only black people get superpowers. And they're the only ones able to get superpowers. And if there's a whole giant conspiracy behind it.
That is an amazing concept.
Yeah, it's one of those, Kwanzaa's writing it. And he showed me the pitch, and it was just like hammer to the forehead kind of stuff. Like, goddamn, that's so simple. Why didn't I think of something like this myself? Like,
dude, that would change the dynamic of.
It changes the dynamic of. Oh yeah.
Like,
oh
the
yeah.
Planet would not be this planet.
No,
like,
no.
But
it changes the dynamic of politics as well, and business, and everything.
Okay, I'll only ask one question because I don't want you to spoil too much, but, like, is it flipped then that because only black people get superheroes, are they more prominent in society?
No. Just the opposite.
Okay.
It's only a small subset of African Americans.
So not all black people,
no,
just the only superheroes are black.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
It's perfect timing for it.
Oh, absolutely.
All this discussion is going on.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah,
I think we're in a crazy. You saw Deadpool?
Yes, I did see Deadpool.
You know, at the end when they make the joke about Keira Knightley playing Cable?
Right.
Do it. Why not? Why the hell not, man?
Because people will lose their goddamn
but
minds.
Deadpool,
that's why.
Would they? Because it's Deadpool.
Right.
If anybody can get away with it, it's Deadpool.
That's true.
Right?
And I actually ended up... I'm not a Deadpool fan, and I actually ended up really liking the movie.
Me too. I've never read Deadpool. I thought it was great. I thought it was so well put together. From a guy who's never made a movie.
Right.
Like, do you know about the director?
Oh, yeah. He used to be the head of Blur,
game.
Right?
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm 50. It's my last shot to make a movie. I'm going to go for it. And then he made the highest rated R movie of all time.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable. I can't wait to read that.
Have you seen the behind-the-scenes FX reel that they put online?
The original thing?
No. From the movie. It's insane.
Really?
Like, everything that you would think they had stuntmen for was all CGI. Like,
really?
Entire scenes were CGI.
Right.
Like, you can't tell. At all. Hey, it's
soon they
amazing.
Won't need actors, man. They'll just make their own actors.
But yeah, we are getting to the point where it's cheaper to it's probably cheaper to do CGI than it is to do makeup effects.
That's crazy,
so
Batman or Superman?
Superman.
Really? Oh.
Gotta rep the S, man.
Yeah. Is that a hardcore old school thing?
It's a hardcore old school
thing. Well, actually,
thing.
I'm not surprised, because knowing from your work, you are very, you're the superhero type.
Right.
The colorful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I must, respectfully disagree.
That's fine.
I think we're all going to win. I'm a big Snyder guy. I'm a little biased, but I think it's going to be just all around gorgeous.
We'll see. I'm not a big Snyder guy, and I have my issues with Man of Steel. So.
Yeah, were you a fan of Watchmen, though?
I think the last thing of his that I like, I liked 300. I thought Watchmen was okay. But Sucker Punch felt like
that
a sucker punch.
That was kind of a... what was also really good, though? That Owl movie. You know, the CGI Legend of Ga'Hoole.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually really good.
I've never seen
that.
Sit
down and watch it with a girl. It's a kid, family movie.
Oh, okay.
But he directed it, didn't just produce. And it's really cool. Because you have to admit, he's at least visually stunning.
No, that's not the issue.
Yeah, I know.
It's really telling, because he went to film school with what's his name? Transformers, Michael Bay.
They went to film school together.
So
I think that's why it was partly a smart move, because he didn't just bring in Affleck as Batman, but it was a whole deal, and Affleck helped rewrite the script.
Right.
Because Zach knows, it's not like, you got to respect the guy that at least he admits it. He's like, I know I'm not a writer or the greatest thing, I need a good script if you can make it better, I'm just going to make it visually stunning, which, for me, I don't even need dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't understand the story is just important.
Right.
But for what Zack Snyder does, I could just, look at it and stare at this beautiful...
I'm different. I need story.
Of course, the
spectacle is fine, but I need... Yeah. The story needs to hold the spectacle together.
Right. I just want to see them fucking busting ass and shaking ass. Wonder Woman is going to steal this movie.
Right.
It's going to be like Silk Spectre on steroids. I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing. So, plans to come back north or what?
I would like to.
Yeah.
I would like to. The opportunity presents itself. Probably not this year, just because my dance card is kind of full, convention-wise.
Sure.
But
you're doing a lot this year, yeah?
Yeah, I'm doing.
Where are you
going to
be?
A lot. Doing Phoenix, doing Baltimore, New York, possibly San Diego. Doing Atlantic City. I'm doing two shows in Jersey this year.
Damn.
But I'm also doing a lot of the Kids Comic Con.
Sure. Specialized library.
A couple of library shows. Yeah. That sort of thing.
So it's great of you guys to do that stuff.
It's important. It really is. I feel like. When I was a young reader, I was encouraged to read comic books by everybody.
Yeah.
I fell in love with the medium because of that. So I think that sharing that love and giving kids material that they can read, and creating kid-friendly material, because There's more of it now than there's ever been. But
yeah, well,
it's
your particular aisle.
Yeah. Oh
here,
yeah, absolutely. But it's still it's not enough. There should be more. You know.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
that's
I look
where
at
it came
I,
from. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I look at the like a convention like C2E2, and you see where it's Kids Day today. There's
yeah,
kids everywhere in
here.
Costume,
yeah. Yeah.
Having fun, looking at the booths. That's what this is all about,
yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man.
Yeah. So I want to keep sharing it. I want to keep pushing that forward.
Right on. Well, I appreciate you doing that, man. Yeah. It'll just bring more and more beautiful and talented comic creators like yourself. Jamal, it's always a pleasure to have you.
Yeah.